you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
That's right. I am so glad that you're here. Fellowship is so much sweeter because you are here. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercies endureth forever. Well, hello there. It must be Thursday. My name is Joey Kroll. I hope you are enjoying your week here so far. Anybody ready for summer? Anyone? Are you ready for summer? I've had a crazy weekend last weekend to where I'm ready for summer, which I'll tell you about that here in a second. But I know here we are. It's Thursday. I know a lot of us are looking forward to the weekend. I know it's payday for a lot of people tomorrow. I know a lot of us tend to look forward to the weekend. If you are looking for something fun to do, by the way, the Community Free Church in Mahomet will be having an Israel experience with our good friend Pastor Jason, who's heard with Mark Burns every Wednesday morning. He will show pictures and stories from his recent trip to Israel. That's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Community Free Church in Mahomet, just off of Route 47. Also on Saturday, our friends at the Savoy United Methodist Church, of course in Savoy, will be having a fundraiser supper for Partners Against Homelessness. It's at the corner of Duncan and Old Church Road, of course, in Savoy. They're actually going to be serving spaghetti and bread for a free will offering as well, and it's all to support Partners Against Homelessness. That's happening Saturday from 6 to 8, again, at the Savoy United Methodist Church in Savoy. So eat up and enjoy that spaghetti, all for a great cause. So find out more about this, just check out our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Well, I am looking forward to summer, without a doubt. Remember last week I was telling you that I was going to surprise my wife for a nice surprise weekend getaway. I told her that we were going to go somewhere, but she didn't know where. But that was the exciting part for her, you know? So we decided, or actually I decided, to take Aubrey to Nashville, Tennessee. You know, we got some friends down there, and plus it'll be just a nice little getaway, you know, forget about responsibilities and all of that. We had the Sunday off of church and all of that stuff. So while we were leaving on Friday, that was during the terrible ice storm that we were having. It wasn't the ice storm, it was the freezing rain. So here we were trying to drive out of Illinois during this ice storm. It took us a long time because we had freezing rain and cars were just flipping out all over the place. And we were going like 15 miles an hour for a good hour, hour and a half. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we have to get down to Nashville tonight. This is taking forever. And it was pretty scary. See, I don't mind the snow, you know, as much as I don't like the snow. I'd rather have snow over ice, because ice, you can't necessarily see some of the time, especially at night if you're driving. So I was slipping and sliding all over the place, but praise God, we made it through and so forth. And you know, once we got through southern Illinois, it was like, you know, above freezing Friday night and so forth. So, I mean, we were going normal speed, but we did make it down to Nashville. I think it was like 1:30 in the morning. We were so exhausted. And by this time, my wife, she was done with the surprise. She just wanted to get wherever to where we were going to enjoy the king-size bed. And so we were tired. We were cranky, but praise God, we made it there, and we just had a great weekend. And in fact, this just shows you the difference in the environment. Since we came down from Illinois, we came in a snowstorm, a ice storm rather, down in Nashville, Tennessee. When we arrived there around 1 o'clock, they had a tornado warning happening down there. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to summer. Don't have to deal with the ice. Don't have to deal with the snow. No cold weather. You know, remember the days when we can just wear shorts and sandals, just relax with the temperatures. But that was a good weekend. We had a good time. We visited the Country Music Hall of Fame down there. That was kind of neat. But we had a great weekend. We came back late Sunday. And we're still trying to catch up from just the weekend and our downtime and so forth. But it is such an honor to be here with you as every Thursday. I have a confession to make. I really do. And I'm going to put myself out there. At times, I struggle at times with bitterness. I mean, that's an easy temptation for me to fall into bitterness. You know, the whole thing of, you know, well, I gave you an opportunity and you messed it up and you hurt me or my family or somebody, and I struggle with that. I really do. I'm being completely honest with you, struggling with that, just that whole bitterness spirit at times. Now, it's not consistent, but I find myself easily falling into bitterness. To the point, I think it was several years ago, I worked with a guy, and he did me over. He what we call backstabbed me, and the thing was, I held that against him for several years. And even when I moved to a different state, I did. And I remember one time in my prayer time, as I was actually praying and so forth, that I was going on for my morning walk. I was listening to my worship music, and then just I felt God just tug on my spirit to say, I think you need it. I think it's time for you to give this up. So as I was walking, I decided to sit down at a bench near the park where I was walking at, and I said, okay, God, I don't want this anymore. You can have this. You know, I forgive this individual, and I'm not going to hold it against him anymore. I'm not going to hold this emotional debt against this person who wronged me like 5 years ago, you know. And the funny thing is, you know, for 5 years, wow, but, you know, it's so easy for that time to pass so by so quickly. You know, the next thing you know, that 5 years is 10 years, and that 10 years is 20 years, and it's an entire lifetime because one person did one thing several years ago. So I, there at the park bench, I'm like, okay, God, I don't want this anymore. I'm not going to hold this emotional debt over him. And I released it there, and it felt so good, to be honest with you. And sure enough, a year and a half later, he did me wrong again. But that's okay. That's okay. Was that 70 times 7 whole spiel there? But I just think about, like, God, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? How many times do I have to forgive them, even if they still keep doing wrong? You know, one of my favorite scriptures, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were still sinning, while we were still spitting in his face, while we were throwing rocks at his face, while we were still throwing out cuss words at him, he still died for us. In the midst of that, not after the fact, not before the fact, but in the middle of that, he could have said, well, you can just do this yourself. I'm getting off this cross, and you can just do this yourself if you want to act like that. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He could have chose to say, well, my time here is done. I think I demonstrated enough. I changed that water into wine. I fed 5,000 people. I healed many sick. I raised the dead and healed the blind. I did all of that. But I'm not going to die on this cross because, you know, look at your attitude. You know, you don't deserve it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So every time I find myself thinking, well, how many times do I have to forgive this person? How many times do I have to say, okay, I forgive you? Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you struggle with that from time? From time to time, just like the whole bitterness and the anger thing at times. Ephesians 4:30, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Do you know that God grieves when he sees us hold someone to emotional debt like that? Especially if it's against our own brother. Okay, so what causes anger, though? I mean, what causes anger? It's caused by either fear, rejection, some type of emotion, or just plain old frustration. You know, some of us express our anger in different ways. Either we manipulate somebody, We abuse somebody verbally, physically, or whatever. We snap at people, or we throw jabs at people, or, you know, we withdraw, or we just blow up, or whatever. Did you know that it's okay to be angry? Did you know that? It's okay to be angry. See, Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. See, it's all about how we construct our anger, or how we express our anger that really matters. Ephesians 4:26 says, you know, it's okay to be angry. You know, it's okay to have some frustration here, but don't sin in the midst of that frustration or that anger. It's all about how we express it that really matters. Forgiveness, and it took me a long time to realize this, was not made for the offender, was not made for the person who wronged you. It was not made for that person whatsoever, but it was made for the victim. So the victim has to live with the crime that happened to them. It could be whatever. It can be somebody who betrayed you at work, or somebody who wronged you, or whatever. The victim has to live with that crime for the rest of their life. But it is up to them if they want to carry the hurt, the pain, and the bitterness with them, where they can just release it to God. They have to live with that for the rest of their life. But the question is, are they going to carry the pain with them? Yes, they're going to have those memories, but do they want to carry the pain with them? Matthew 18:21 talks about we have to forgive our brother 70 times 7, which means always forgive. Not 490 times, but every time. You wronged me 489 times, you got one more chance, and you're out of here, buddy. No, it doesn't work like that. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine if it worked like that with God? I think I mess up 490 times in a week, let alone a lifetime, right? See, 70 times 7, you know, God says you need to forgive your brother 70 times 7, 490 times. Basically means always forgive your brother. And this is not an option. It's not an option. This is a command from God. It's a command. See, for instance, what if I gave you a car, and it could be whatever car you like. It could be a pickup truck, it could be a boat, it could be a motorcycle, whatever type of automobile, for free. And I gave it to you absolutely free. I didn't want any money in return. No money in return. My wife would be surprised by that. But I would not want any money in return. I gave you a free car of your choice, your color. You can look at the interior. You can pick out the exterior. The only thing I ask is that you give the homeless a ride just a few days a week. Just pick up homeless people just a couple of times a week. And you refuse to do that. How is that thanking the owner? How is that following the requests of the person who actually gave you that gift? I ain't doing that. Homeless can get their own car. How do you think I would have felt if that actually happened? I gave you that car and you refused to do that. I probably would have been upset and frustrated. The same thing goes with God. He forgave all of us, those who are in Christ, of course. And the fact that we don't forgive somebody else because they wronged us. So how do you heal from that spirit of unforgiveness, that bitterness, or however you want to call it? Well, number one, repent, obviously. Number two, release them from your bondage. Release them. Let it go. Just release it. Number three, recognize that their wrongdoing has exposed a weakness in your life. See, God has used their wrongdoing to show you that you have a desire for vengeance, an unforgiving spirit, hatred, or a desire to get even that needs to be dealt with. So recognize that their wrongdoing has exposed a weakness in your life. See, God has used that wrongdoing that they did to you to show you that you have a desire for either vengeance, you have an unforgiving spirit, hatred, or a desire to get even that needs to be dealt with. And number four, how to heal from that pit of unforgiveness. Just remind yourself of Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Where there was a thief on the cross who asked Jesus to remember him when he enters his gates. And Jesus looked at him with everything he had left in him. Any type of energy. The Bible said that he was thirsty. So his throat was probably extremely dry. There's blood on his face. There were probably sweat going down his brow. There were probably tears going down his cheeks, and him looking over to this thief, this man who was dying in his shame and dying in his sin, and told this man, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise." What a beautiful symbol of God's love and his forgiveness in this man's dying moments. Imagine you find yourself in a prison-like setting. As you look around, you see a number of cells visible from where you're standing. You see people from your past incarcerated there, people who have wounded you as a child. You see people you once called friends, but who wronged you at some point in life. You might see one or both of your parents there, perhaps a brother or a sister or some other family member. Even your spouse is locked up nearby, trapped with all the other people in this jail cell of your own making. This prison you see is a room in your heart. This dark, drafty, depressing chamber exists inside of you every day. But not too far, Jesus is standing there, extending to you a key that will release every single inmate. No, you don't want to be part of that. These people have hurt you too badly. They knew what they were doing, yet they did it anyways. Even your spouse, the one who you should have been able to count it on, wronged you. So you resist and turn away. You're unwilling to stay here any longer, seeing Jesus, seeing the key in his hand, knowing what he's asking you to do is just too much, just way too much. But in trying to escape, you make a startling discovery. There is no way out. You're trapped inside with all the other captives. Your anger, your unforgiveness and bitterness have made a prisoner of you as well. Like the servant of Jesus' story who is forgiven an impossible debt you have chosen not to forgive and been handed over to the jailers and torturers. Your freedom is now dependent on your forgiveness. How to heal from unforgiveness? Number one, repent. Number two, release those from your bondage. Number three, recognize that their wrongdoing has exposed a weakness in your life. And number four, just be reminded of Luke chapter 23, verse 39.
Give me Jesus, give me Jesus.
Reminding you, we are just, wow, how long is it now? About 2 months away, less than 2 months away for the Great News Radio Community Appreciation Concert happening on Thursday night, March 29th at 7 p.m. at the Virginia Theater. It's the Christian Classic Tour with Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson, and Michael Card. Tickets start at just $11. You can get tickets by checking out thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. You can call 217-356-9063, 217-356-9063, again, for the Great News Radio Community Appreciation Concert, Thursday night, March 29th at 7 p.m. at the Virginia Theater. Well, my name is Joey Kroll. Thank you so much for listening. Just remember that you are salt, you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.